Good morning. It's wonderful to be back home with you. I can't tell you how delightful it is to be here. When I was first going to give this sermon a title today, the title I chose was, Be a Gadfly for Christ. But then I decided to go with this one. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel is a well-known Jewish theologian and philosopher. He trained as a scholar in Germany and was raised in an intensely pious Hasidic community in Warsaw. His plan was to be a rabbi to his small community in Poland, but God had other plans in mind for him. Rabbi Heschel and the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King were brought together in friendship by a mutual love of the Bible, most especially the prophets. And Rabbi Heschel joined Dr. King on the march to Selma. It reminded him of the message of the prophets, whose primary concern was social justice, and of his Hasidic ancestors, for whom compassion for those who are suffering defines what it means to be a religious person. I was reminded of Rabbi Heschel as I read this parable and prepared for this sermon. He and the widow in the parable seem well prepared to answer the question that Jesus asks at the end of the passage. And when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Now, there are many times where I'm not sure how I would actually answer that question. If Jesus came today, he would sometimes find me struggling with faith. It's all too easy to despair. It's all too easy to be skeptical. If we look at our world today as prophets who are yearning for social justice, or as religious people seeking compassion for those who suffer, what would we see? Well, here are some facts. Poverty and economic inequality rates remain high in our nation. Wealth disparities are rising faster than income inequality. Some 19 million adults are living in households with insufficient food. 11.9 million are behind on their rent today. We had 350 guests yesterday at our Saturday kitchen in our own neighborhood. The United States continues to have the highest rate of criminal incarceration. Nearly 2 million are held in state and federal prisons. Blacks remain vastly overrepresented in jails and in prisons in our nation. There has been no effort to dismantle or reform the criminal justice system. Racial and ethnic disparities among the number of youth who are incarcerated in our country persist. Black youth are more than four times, Latinx youth 1.3 times, and tribal youth more than three times as likely to be incarcerated as white youth. Drug overdose deaths have reached the highest ever recorded during the COVID-19 pandemic, largely associated with unemployment, with alcohol poisoning, suicide, mostly all related to economic insecurity and mental health challenges that go unaddressed. The expulsion of more than 750,000 migrants at our border disproportionately targeting Black, Indigenous, and Latinx people occurs. Migrants who are seeking sanctuary are bused to cities, including our own, without any coordination of care on their behalf. I met some of those migrant families yesterday at our Saturday Kitchen program, a mom and dad with the two small children. And when I wished the two small children blessings in Spanish, they both instinctively responded to me, "Amen." They are our children. They are the holy innocents in this story. I also met a group of men, there were about five of them, and they had just come here from Venezuela and spoke very little English, and I summoned whatever little Spanish I had to have a conversation with them. And when I asked one of the gentlemen if these men were his family, he said, "They are my comunidad," his community. My friends, they are our community, our comunidad. Lawmakers today continue to introduce legislation that defines voting rights, that defines women's reproductive health care, that defines the rights of transgender people, and most especially the rights of transgender youth. Oh, I could go on and on and on and talk about senseless war, talk about lack of access of health care and mental health benefits. I could talk about the gun violence on our streets and most sadly in our schools. The problems today, just in our nation, seem so very pervasive. How many of us feel that we knock persistently at God's door and sometimes feel it's to no avail? Sometimes, indeed, our trust does grow weary, and we wonder, is there ever going to be an answer? So it's not surprising at all for us to lose heart and to become immobilized. But then, my friends, the good news is, then there's this gospel. Today's gospel presents us a parable that first addresses the issue of not losing heart with prayer, and then ends with the very provocative question, "And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" It's a question that seems to leap across the scripture from Jesus' present moment in this parable right to his own suffering, death, and resurrection that is in his future. It's a question that leaps from this scripture right in our present moment into our future as we as a parish discern how to move forward in grace. Perhaps a sign of faith will be our willingness to be persistent in prayer and trust that prayer will be responded to, just like the widow in the story who persisted in her attempt to have justice. Yet it's not prayer alone, isn't it? Imagine the vulnerable widow being told, "Thanks for coming by. Our prayers and our thoughts are with you." How often do we roll our eyes when we hear a politician refer to the next sad news with the response, "Our prayers and our thoughts are with the victims and their families"? This parable for us seems to emphasize the inseparable connection between prayer and action, between prayer, action, and relationship. And understanding prayer in this way opens up our faith and provides us with an opportunity to see the world as Jesus sees the world. Theologian Marcus Borg clarifies it in this way. He says that Jesus points us to an alternative culture, an alternative culture which seeks a more compassionate world. And it's the drive to build a compassionate world that moved Jesus to touch lepers, to heal, to see the ostracized people as beloved children of God, and to risk his very own life. These actions are all actions of divine grace. And the word that Jesus used most often to talk about divine grace is compassionate. The pastoral ministry of our church, our moving forward in grace, must enliven divine grace, must enliven compassion. We must be willing, like Jesus, to touch, to heal, to see, to respond to the suffering in this world with compassion. In our community, our comunidad, our city, our nation, and the world. We must be like Jesus, bearers of divine grace and compassion. And there's plenty that we can do. And forgive me for a moment if I seem like I'm preaching to you, because I am. And the other reason I'm going to share some thoughts with you in this direction is because the single role of a deacon, the single role of my servant order, is to preach when we preach on mission and ministry, and to stand by you and to support you as you live into your baptismal promises. So helping you do that, I'm going to share some suggestions. This is what we can all do. Let's recommit to the promises that we made in our own baptismal covenant. Let's respect, like our covenant calls us to, the dignity of every human being without exception. Let's believe and value and respect our own worth as well. And let's treat those who are around us with great respect. Let's find ways, and this has become so underscored during the pandemic, let's find more ways to promote and work for the common good, and not just what we individually need and favor. Let's tackle social justice issues right in our own backyard. That's where it starts. Let's get more involved in civic issues. Remaining silent is no longer an option when profoundly human, ethical, and religious issues are all at stake. Let's vote responsibly. Let's support candidates through volunteer efforts or donations, and speak out on matters that affect the lives of those who have limited or no voice, or who are powerful or marginalized. And let's recognize and counter the expressions of violence in our lives that comes in many forms: oppression of the poor, deprivation of rights, exploitation, neglect, abuse of the aged and the helpless, and harm done each and every day to God's creation. Keeping our prayers alive with action, not just good intentions or petitions, incarnates our faith here on earth. It helps to build the reign of God. Now, when Rabbi Heschel returned from Selma, he wrote the following. The march from Selma to Montgomery was about protest and prayer. Legs are not lips, and walking is not kneeling. And yet our legs uttered songs. Even without words, our march was worship. I felt, he wrote, my legs were praying. My friends, it all reminds me of the words attributed to Teresa of Avila, who we commemorated on our calendar yesterday. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which to look for Christ's compassion. Yours are the feet which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are Christ's body. Christ has no body on earth but yours. When the Son of Man comes, will he look at us and find this same faith on earth? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.